This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, this week it's the St Albans Sustainability Festival, this year coinciding with the Big Green Week that's taking place all over the country. So all over the county and indeed all over the country, people from all sorts of groups are organising events that they hope will make a difference. Greenpeace organised an event to create a fluorescent octopus shape to reflect the bioluminescence of the deep ocean as part of a protest against deep sea mining. St Albans Friends of the Earth told us last week about their petition asking for insulated homes and renewable energy, and other groups are doing practical things like organising clothes swaps and gardening events. Which got me to thinking that all these people are activists in their way, aren't they? They're all working towards helping the planet and humanity in some way, but those ways can be so different, can't they? It's impossible to say if there's a better way to be an activist. Extinction Rebellion have changed their method of activism from disruptive to more peaceful and collaborative, and many of us might have changed our ideas about what we think is effective. So I thought that today we'd hear from a few local people with different ideas about activism, about what they can do now, why they do it, and any way that their ideas on activism have evolved. Let's hear first from Tricia Gibbons, a member of the community wildlife group The Wildhood Watch, a wildlife gardens volunteer and the inspiration behind The Greenhouse, the project aimed at getting St Albans its own physical eco-hub. What does she see as activism and how has her activism changed?
I suppose I engage at different levels. So it might be signing a petition, occasionally writing an email or a letter, something like that. And then also more sort of micro things of talking to people, engaging with people, having conversations. I run a sort of a small group, but just for friends. We just get together sometimes. You know, we might have a plastic-free picnic, for instance. And, you know, so it's fun things, doing nice things. But that gives you an opportunity to think, oh, you know, how do you do that? And also joining in with events like the big one that was held a couple of weeks ago down in London. So, yeah, different levels. And I think it's changed over the years as well. I think sort of back in my 20s, I've been involved in education for many years and I was teaching. And my activism, I suppose, was tied up with education. It was, you know, giving people the opportunity to learn about things and sort of spreading the word that way. In some ways, I've actually become more active in my activism, going out and joining sort of protests and marches and things. But getting involved with physical things, you know, think about protecting biodiversity, being involved with creating wildlife-friendly garden that people can visit and see and experience. And I think that's one of the things that's really changed. You want to give people real experience. And that just helps for people to understand and realise that it matters to them too, and that, you know, they want to be part of something and take steps that, you know, will help to make positive change.
I love, don't you, that Tricia considers positivity and fun to be a crucial part of her activism. And if a practical kind of activism appeals to you, then how about looking into the St Albans Fixers, the group that organises local repair events, or see if the Wilderhood Watch appeals to you, or get stuck into helping make the greenhouse, the eco-hub that Tricia is pioneering, become a reality. And I'll put the links for all of those into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix92.6.com. Now, someone else involved in the greenhouse, but also many other local environmental groups, is Lee Woods. Now, you might know Lee from his graphic design company, Ember Designs, and he puts his creative skills to excellent use in his own particular brand of activism, using his fabulous photographs to accompany posts on social media. So what does activism mean to Lee?
So for me, activism is just the art of making a difference. And my art is very visual. It all really, for me, started with the 30 Days Wild campaign from the Wildlife Trust, where it encourages you and your family to get out and do one wild act a day for the duration of June. Most people will know my daughter, Eleanor. We started that about 4 years ago. And obviously, the more she's grown, we've got to become more elaborate with our activities. And off of the back of that, people have been coming up to me just saying how much they appreciate it, how much it energizes them. It gives them ideas for things to do with their children. And in some cases, it actually encourages people to sort of join some of the environmental groups locally too. I'm very much a glass half full sort of fella, but I'm under no illusions just how much issue we have in terms of the climate emergency. But that said, in my opinion, you have to give people something to fight for. You have to give some positivity. I think that's where it is. Some of the posts are, well, they're all heartfelt. Some of them are sort of focusing on the fun you can have in nature. Others are looking at the detrimental effect that people are implementing on it. This isn't always the case, but social media can have its vibe on what people do within their own world. But I think over the course of the years, the more groups that I've been involved with, I think it's become more apparent that there is a platform for good there. And if I can just help influence one person, then that's job done for me. But I've been quite fortunate in so much that it's helped quite a number of people in a time when there's great uncertainty. But the one absolute in all of this is that nature is wonderful for us all, and it must be protected and loved and nurtured like all good things. One voice stems into two, and then two into four. And then by the end of it, you've got a movement where everyone is thinking in the same mindset. And that is the absolute catalyst for change.
Lee is so right, isn't he, that everything starts with one person and it goes from there. Using creativity to influence is a well-established form of activism. Think of the songs produced over the years protesting about so many issues: gay rights, the situation in Northern Ireland, racism, to name but a few. Richard Lafford is a local musician and composer, as well as being an active member of Extinction Rebellion. So does Richard see his music as activism?
I guess it is. The great thing about Extinction Rebellion is there is a wide variety of activism, whether that's going out on the streets or whether it's, in my case, making music. And I'd like to think it is, because I like to think if you can reach people, then it can start a dialogue, start a conversation, and just maybe connect with people. I'm very much led by story. Being an ex-teacher, that was like a kernel in my belief system about what mattered in terms of communication. Last year, I wrote a symphony, if you can call it that, a collection of 14 pieces related to the oceans. When I'm writing it, it's very much what's behind the story that's getting to me. And with the ocean, it was very much how the animals are coping with what we're doing to the ocean. And so I wanted to tell their story. At the moment, I've written a story which I've hoped to turn into a play. And I hope next year to perform it. So the idea is about a monster being climate change, and it's how people deal with that monster. I want to communicate with people. I want it to connect, but I know that it has to mean something to me to start off with. I think people have to go with what drives them. I make no bones about it. I do find the whole business of climate breakdown difficult at times. And the whole thing about being an activist, difficult because it causes difficulties to my mental health at times. But that is also my fuel. And that's where I write from as well.
So for you, activism is a little bit about trying to persuade other people to act differently, and also a bit about you coping with the situation as well.
I guess so. I mean, it's a funny thing because, and I guess it's similar for other people that write, you don't necessarily know what you're doing until you actually do it. You don't know where the process is going to end. And the whole thing for me has been like a revelation at times, I don't necessarily know what is happening until it happens at times. And that's where the sort of happy accidents come about. And it's great when I'm working with other people. I end up working with different people at different times, and it's liberating when they interact with the music you've created. It ceases to be just your own and it becomes something else, and that's great.
So whatever your creative talent, you can use it to help change the world for good, whether it's through music like Richard, visual images like Lee, or using your craft skills in the growing craftivism movement. And for most of us, activism is what we do when we're not doing the day job. But owner of sustainable clothing brand Tommy and Lottie, Katie Carr, has made activism her business. So where does it all stem from for Katie?
Well, I believe if you don't look after wildlife, we don't really have a future as a human on this planet. So that's at the core, and always has been actually, in the core of my business. And I think you can communicate so well through design, through video now, which is obviously, you know, the reels on Instagram. Visually, you can make such an impact. And that's really, really important. And that's what I've always done through my business. I started this business 10 years ago next year. And I've always, from day one, thought about the whole sustainability and wildlife. And I've stayed true to that. Animals don't have a voice. They can't speak like we can. So I think it's really important for us to be spokespeople for wildlife. And that's why I thought I was very passionate about partnering with charities, wildlife charities, which is obviously the Harts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, the Sumatran Orangutan Society, and Ocean Generation. And then I've linked different animals to those different charities. So Ocean being the polar bear, Wildlife Trust being the bee and butterfly, and the orangutan being Sumatran Orangutan Society. Because I want to support and give a voice to all these amazing charities that are around and spread it out to my audience. And so that when they buy a product, they're also helping a charity that are doing amazing things for our planet.
And do you think that even by wearing one of your T-shirts, you say proudly displaying one of those logos you described, do you think that makes them into activists as well?
Yes, it does. But not in a way where, in an aggressive way, because I don't think aggressive way really works, because we need a lot of people to come together to make the change. And I think people find it a bit frightening if it becomes too aggressive. So that's why I think you have to just keep, it's like a sort of like a drip feed, slow, soft messaging, like coming through. I do a lot about my plantable seed cards. I've done a lot of showing how they actually do work. And then they have beautiful plants for our pollinators, which are really, really important. So that's just one example of how I'm going about being a wildlife activist.
Indeed. And have your ideas about activism or about what works, have they changed at all over the years?
Yeah, I've become more, I'm getting more and more and more passionate about talking about what we can do as individuals to help the environment. Rather than getting very overwhelmed by the big picture, we look at what can we do in our back garden? What can I do as an individual? What it's done to me is it's made me question my lifestyle and made me question all the elements, which actually is backed by science, the changes we need to do, like how we travel, what plants we're doing, mowing our lawn, and, you know, things like organic growing, and but coming together as a community and sharing that message, I think is really important. And so I think community is at the heart of changing how we want to the future of our environment and the future of our planet.
Oh, well said, Katie. And in some ways, that takes us back to my first contributor today, Tricia, and what she said about the importance of talking to people. Do you know, for me, I think it's one of the most powerful forms of activism and is something that we can all do. I'd love to hear your views on activism. For you, is it about lobbying your politicians? Do you use your creativity, or is your activism as simple as smiling whilst you're cycling to the shop so it looks like fun and tempts other people to try it? Do let me know. Get in touch via email. I'm on amanda.yourworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Twitter and on Facebook. Finally, let's hear from local tree campaigner Anthony Helm. He does spend a lot of his time drawing attention to the plight of trees through Facebook posts and talking with council officers and other tree professionals fighting for local trees. But occasionally, Anthony picks up his pen. Let's finish with his poem about the Tree of Hope, the mulberry tree planted earlier in the year in St. Peter's Churchyard in St. Albans, paid for and planted by local tree activists like him. The poem is read by Anthony's talented son, Nick.
The Tree of Hope by Anthony Helm. Today a tree is planted in this quiet, ancient place. We gather in a circle, respectful, and with grace. Each planting is important, connecting, as it does, humanity and nature, predicting springtime's buzz. New trees are essential, yet we need them gnarled and old. We need them by the roadsides, counteracting traffic's hold. Trees lift the human spirit, give hope to everyone. Whatever be their journey, be it hard or very long, they filter muddy waters, revitalise dusty air, soften unwanted noises, shade those in deep despair. And in this city churchyard, we have widened vast our scope. This tree becomes a beacon. It is our tree of hope.
Ah, wasn't that lovely? Just gives you pause for thought as well, doesn't it? Just shows that activism really can take many, many forms. So thank you very much indeed for that, Anthony. I'm going to be back with you at the same time next week. Until then, thank you for listening.